going to hold the microphone long enough to get the introduction on the tape and then hand it off to our speaker for tonight. My watch is showing 7:31, so I believe it's time to get going. I synchronize my watch with the National Observatory, the Naval Observatory, I guess, whatever the official timepiece of the United States government is. So if they're wrong, I can't help it, but I'm synchronized with them now, so that's how we're going to work. Let's bow for a word of prayer, then I'll introduce our speaker. Father, we just rejoice in your faithfulness. We find ourselves humbled day after day at the amazing grace that you shine forth, the grace of our salvation, the grace of our daily walk, the grace that you continue to multiply. And indeed, Father, we do live in the grace upon grace stage of the angelic conflict, and we thank you for being a part of the body and bride of Christ, being a part of the church. Father, tonight you're going to open our eyes just a bit on the church and the work of what you are doing around this world. Thank you for giving us these glimpses. Thank you for letting us see what's out there and keeping us from becoming so inward-looking and caught up in the battle here in Austin, Texas, that we forget that your work is going forth in every country around this world. And we want to thank you for that. Thank you for VMI. Thank you for bringing Bob Thompson in tonight. We look forward to the report. We just thank you and praise you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Bob Thompson is the director of VMI. He is the third director of VMI, is that correct? After Jody Brown and Dan Hawkins, each of whom have been in this church in previous times and have given reports on VMI. So that's a high bar for Bob to reach up to, but we'll let that go. We'll see how that goes. In any event, you've been 3 years now? 4 years? How long have you been with VMI? Oh, year and a half. Okay, year and a half. Well, good deal. Good deal. And this is a presentation that I was blessed to see. Sharon and I got to see this in Arkansas last month when Quentin Swofford hosted a retreat for pastors and wives and missionaries and so forth. So I got a little preview last month already, and we're real delighted to offer it to you here this evening. So, Bob.
Thank you very much for letting me come here tonight. It is a real pleasure to get to come to churches to talk to them and tell them about what VMI is doing and what VMI really is. Like Bob said, I started with VMI full-time as a CEO about a year and a half ago, and it's been a real challenge, but I guarantee it's been a blessing every day. I was telling Bob about, you know, some of the days you go into work and it's, you don't know what's going to happen, and then you get this magical phone call and you find out how awesome God is that day. I mean, he just, every day he surprises me. Even though I know he's wonderful, every day he just surprises me by what he does. So I'd like to just show you a little bit about what we do, and then we'll open up to questions, if that's all right, Bob. I have to figure out how to use this. Just up? Oh, okay. Look there. Okay, if you go to your Bible, Matthew 28:19 talks about why we are in business. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is a command. Go ye therefore. It doesn't give us a choice. We're commanded to go. And so for 31 years I was out there doing law enforcement things. Arresting people, investigating crimes, and then I realized that instead of taking people's freedom away, I can give people freedom. Because this verse tells me that I can go and tell people about Jesus Christ. And what's neat is when you get overseas and start talking to people, they want to hear the gospel. And I'll tell you some wonderful stories, and then I'll ask you some questions as we go along. Our mission is that we're to take the the gospel and teach God's word to the people of the world. Target areas are villages, hence the name Village Ministries. Our vision is to go into all the world and train and develop pastors. What we found out in 1990, we started VMI. George Brown started it. And he started it because he believed that Matthew 28:19 was a verse we need to listen to. But he's an American, and he went overseas. And he started teaching in Nigeria. And then he went to Russia, and then he wanted to become a missionary, and he, and Steve Dupuy, and Jim Myers, and about five others, went over to Belarus, Kiev, and they taught. But then what we realized was, that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go over, train people how to become a pastor, how to be a better pastor, let them teach their own people. Because they know the customs. And I'll give you an example of why it's important about customs. When we were in Vietnam, we told the Vietnamese people, bow your heads for prayer. They would not do it. Because in Vietnam, when you bow your head, that is a position of execution. So you are never going to see a person from Vietnam bowing their head, closing their eyes, because that means they're going to have a bullet in the back of the head the next second. So if you know the customs, you're better off. So what we decided to do in 1993 was to start just using local pastors in the country that we were at, find them, teach them, train them, and then let them keep teaching. So that's what we've done since 1993. Like I said, the very first place we went was Nigeria. Matthias Audi was there. He now has 35 pastors under him. That's a picture of Matthias and his wife and his youngest son, youngest of eight children. Here is a picture of villagers preparing a meal. You notice that they're going to have some rice that day. That's what they eat, okay? They eat rice. I was in a village, and this structure that is behind where the rice is where they live. They live in villages. They will clear off the ground. They'll build a 3 to 5 buildings, and that's where people will live. Those buildings usually have 4 rooms, nothing in them, or very little in them. I was privileged. I was teaching, and the chief of one of the villages invited me to stay at his house, and he would move out and give me his bed. And it was wonderful, because the bed was approximately that thick. And so I was about a quarter of an inch higher than the guys who were sleeping on the ground. But I had my bed. I had a bed. The chief gave me the bed. So they have nothing, but they love God. The people who love God, love God. And it's a good thing, because when you become a believer in many of these countries, and Nigeria is one of them, you're kicked out of your family. You are no longer a member of your family. Matthias is the oldest son and oldest sibling in his family. When he became a believer, he lost the inheritance of the family structure. So we were invited. When I first got into the country, the very first thing I did a funeral. And I could not understand why I was doing a funeral. But then Matthias explained to me, because in Nigeria, when you become a believer, your family is fellow believers. It's not mom and dad, it's not your brother, it's not your sister, it's fellow believers. So they wanted a fellow believer to honor him and do a funeral for him. So it's a different life than what we think of. It's just totally different. This is one of the buildings that that we have sent money to them and asked them to build. This was in the jungle. You have to travel a day on foot through a little path about this wide, straight down a hill. It took us about 6 hours to get down there. the people there, they ring a bell and they come to worship. They ring a bell and they come to worship. I would walk into a village and they would ring a bell, and in 15 minutes there would be 100 to 120 people there wanting to hear me talk about Jesus Christ. That, to me, was awesome. And let me tell you about these people. I get regular emails from a couple of these guys, and they tell me that they are praying for us in America. These people that have nothing except maybe one pair of slacks and one shirt, they have nothing. They're praying for us in America. They're pretty awesome. I just love these people. But this is one of the countries that we go to. Second country we went to that we started with a pastor was in Belarus. A guy by the name of Volodya Feldman. This is his wife, Ira, and Volodya. I was privileged when we went to Belarus. This is a house in a village. There's 20 orphans right there, and Volodya and Sasha. We were privileged last summer to be able to have a summer camp in Belarus. The orphanage was closing down for a month, and they told us that we could have their kids, 20 of their kids. And so we ended up with 20 kids, 20 orphans who had seen a lot, been through a lot, watched their mama get killed, watched their daddy get killed. I mean, they've gone through a lot. They were a pretty hard group. But by the end of the week, 16 out of the 20 were believers. So next summer we want to go back and do 50 of them. So hopefully God will honor that, and we will be able to have a nice ratio again of believers. But these young men came in, they were very cold, very hard. At the end of the week we asked them to write a letter to God, and one of them said, "Dear God, if you can't kick Satan's rear end, send him my way. I can take care of him." That's the kind of guys that we were dealing with. They're pretty hard, pretty coarse young men. The joy of doing it in this house, the guy who owns this house is an 80-year-old decorated veteran of the military. Was personally decorated by Stalin. People respect him. People honor him. People are afraid of him. And he told me that if we want to teach the gospel in his village, we can do it. And he has given me his house for next summer so that we can have a camp at his house. That's not much, because really it's just four walls. They don't have running water. They do have electricity. No beds in there. But we can use the facility. So we will go back. We will teach there for 2 weeks, 50 to 100 orphans those 2 weeks. Volodya has been there since 1991, and as a believer, and he's now the pastor. This is what his church is going to look like. That is a four foot by four foot blocks is what that church is made out of. It's going to be three stories high, and it should be framed in by next week, and they'll finish it in the spring. So we will. Now Rex was just there. For those of you who don't know, let me introduce the young man back here almost in the back. His name is Rex O'Neill. Rex just came back from Belarus. Are they going to be close with the deadline? Okay. So they're working hard. Volodya tells me that they will have it done before the end of the year. Enclosed. Next place we went was to Ghana, and met a young man by the name of Young. He's older than I am, James Awusa. He has five pastors working with him. This is a picture of James and his wife, Helena. In fact, James is in the United States right now. His son is going to be graduating from Oklahoma Baptist University next Friday. So he will be in there watching his son graduate. I was honored by, when I went to Ghana, this doesn't look like much, but this is where a future home of a church in Ghana. I watched as they cut that tree down. I watched as they cut that tree up, removed it, and they started putting mud bricks up as a structure. 30 days later, they will have the building up and will be functioning as a full-time church. So James is a pretty neat guy. He's a man who doesn't have a lot. A lot of these pastors don't have very much. And I questioned him, and other people have questioned James. Well, James, you know, we feel bad that we have, you know, I've got a couple pair of clothes. You know, and when I travel, I take a couple pair of clothes. I feel bad that I have stuff and you don't. And he looks at people and he says, that's okay. God has you there because you can handle stuff. He has me here because I cannot handle stuff. That's his philosophy of life. It's okay. He doesn't need stuff. Stuff gets in his way. TV gets in his way. Cars get in his way. You know, possessions get in his way. All he wants is his Bible to teach people. So he's a very honorable man. Here we are. We only have four churches there that we've built a structure. And so many times you just have to teach underneath the tree. And just like Pastor Bob is going to be doing in the Philippines, he won't be under a tree. He will actually be in a YMCA. But short-term people go over. They teach the gospel. They teach Bible stories if they're talking to young people. They teach ladies' classes if they're talking to ladies. They teach pastors if they're talking to pastors. And many times you have to use a tree. The way we usually do that is we have some mechanism by which when we get to a village that we attract people, either a soccer ball, music of some type, whether you take a boombox with you or a guitar with you, and kids will follow you. You can start talking to them, then they bring moms and dads in, then you can tell them about the gospel. And so it doesn't take a lot of skill. Even I can do it. I'm telling you, if I can do it, anybody can do it. God will honor you. God will give you the words to say. It's amazing that people have gone over there and they're terrified. And in fact, this young lady that's there with the red hair, she was terrified to go over because she said she didn't know enough. She didn't have a pastor who had a walk through the Bible and how that big thick book you guys have that Bob's done, man. She didn't have that. But she went over and she started teaching. She fell in love with those people. And now she wants to go spend 3 months in the summertime when she's not teaching school in Ghana. So there's many benefits, but that's one of the things that people will they find out that they have skills that they can do. They have abilities to teach young people, teach ladies, teach pastors. It's phenomenal to watch these people. Next place we developed a pastor was in Sri Lanka. The guy's name is Abe Matalamani, and he has six pastors. And this is Abe, his wife Susie, and their son PV. Here we are in a house teaching pastors. This is a very challenging period of time because he has six pastors. Some of them speak English. Some speak Tamil. Some speak Sinhalese. So when you're teaching, you have to say it in English, and then somebody translates it into Tamil, and somebody else translates it into Sinhalese. It takes a long time to get through anything at all. Bob, it's horrible doing that, I promise you. but it's functional. We make it happen. And these six guys are very dedicated, and they, again, they just want to learn. they want to learn how to study and what to teach. And so if we can provide materials for them, then it makes it easier for them to know what to teach and how to teach. Here we are at a church service. We had to use a school building. They don't have we have not built a church in Sri Lanka. They have always been able to talk to somebody to allow them to use a church, a school building, an empty building, something. So we have not had to spend money doing that because it costs a lot of money just to build a church. But if that's the only way people can attend church, then we're going to try to help them by building a church building. Next country we went to was India. Individual by the name of Solo Philip. This is Solo and his wife, Jesse, and their son Samuel. And now they have a daughter that is named Sharon. Solo is in the process of... We pay Solo a lot of money. We pay him $200 every month. And so out of that $200, I don't know how he did it, but he bought this property so that he could build a house and a training center for pastors. Remember the training center, because as we get later in my talk, I will tell you what he's doing, what he wants to do with that training center. Here we are just in an Indian home, teaching about Jesus Christ. I will do this now. Would you help me, please? Would you pass out three of those to each person? What I'm having her pass out is a coin. On one side it says, "Has anybody ever heard of John 3:16?" Anybody know what that says? "For God so loved the world, they gave His only begotten Son." Okay. That's what this coin says on this side. On this side it says, "Where will you spend eternity?" Now, I'm going to pass out three, or have her pass out three coins, because remember at the very first I said there's a verse in the Bible, Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore unto all the world, to all the nations." Where is your mission field? Now, Rex just went to Belarus. And that may be his mission field. But could your mission field be on Lamar Boulevard? Could that be possible? Could God actually let you become a missionary, somebody who tells somebody about Jesus Christ, right here on Lamar, or right on Woodward, right here in Austin? So here's what I want you to do. And here's the way I explain this coin. This coin does not give you salvation. It's just a token of your salvation. I gave you three coins. Because that man back there needs help. Bob stands up here. No, let me back up. Bob studies. Your pastor studies to prepare a lesson. And then he comes up here and he teaches you a lesson. But he needs somebody out here sitting in the seats. How can you get those people? Because what I want you to do with the other two coins, I want you to keep one coin. But I want you to take those two extra coins, I want you to pray about it, I want you to give it to somebody who you want to see when you get to heaven. Whether that's a brother, a sister, a mama, a daddy, a son or a daughter, or maybe just your next door neighbor. Okay? Give it to somebody who you really, really want to see when you get to heaven. I did this in my home church, and a lady came up to me and she says, "But Bob, I have four sons, and none of them are believers. Can I have four coins?" I gave her four coins. This coin I have to tell you the story about while I was, because this picture reminded me of one of the guys there in the picture. In fact, it was his home. I gave this coin out. We have this coin printed in 59 languages. Pretty impressive when you go to another country and you give them a coin that is in their language. It doesn't mean much to us because we all speak English and it's kind of cool. But, you know, I'm in India and I've got coins printed in Malayalam, and I give these coins out to all these people at this house. They were amazed that we had it printed in their language and telling people, hey, Jesus Christ, that's where you're going to spend eternity. The homeowner asked us to please pray for his daughter. His daughter had done something that Indian people do not do. She had left her husband. Indians have arranged marriages. Once you're married, you're married. They do not have a divorce rate. Period. It's zero. She left her husband. He asked us to pray for her. 3 days later, I'm teaching in a Bible class, and he comes up to me and he says, Mr. Bob, he says, I have to tell you something. He says, thank you for praying for my daughter. She has moved back home with her husband. I said, wow. So we just stopped right then. We prayed. I said, thank you, God. He said, oh, no. He says, that's not it, Bob. He says, I gave a coin to her husband, who's Hindi. He's now a believer. I said, wow. Praise God. He said, no, I'm not done. He says, I gave the coin to my son-in-law's father, because when you move as a son, when you get married, you move in with mom and dad, and then it's the family is you, your spouse, and your mom and dad. Gave it to him, his father. He is now a believer. He took these coins that mean nothing. They're just a symbol. In Malayalam, and now there's two more people that we get to see when we get to heaven. Is that awesome? I gave him a couple more coins just because. I don't know why, but I just gave it to him. You know, it was just like just a little coin. You know, but if this coin is enough to make you willing to go out and tell your brother, your sister about Jesus Christ, then it's worth it. The coin is worth it. Okay, this is just a tool we use that we allow our pastors overseas to use, so that they can feel comfortable in telling their people to tell other people about Jesus Christ. It's a very effective tool. Next country that we went to was Latin America. We used to have an individual by the name of Mario Garcia. And Mario has been in this church. The very first time I met your pastor was in this church. And Mario was here. We were at a pastor's conference. And Mario came down. Mario has since left the Mexico and is now living in Oklahoma City. Doing quite well. But he likes to teach. And so here he is, again, teaching under a tree. There's no building. You don't need a building. You just need to be willing to teach the gospel. Here's other people who have just gone to Mexico, and they're just teaching. They are teaching the Word of God. This is Teaching Foundations. I haven't talked about Foundations, but Foundations is a book that I'll get into in just a little bit. But this is in Nicaragua. This time in 3 weeks, we will have 3 weeks from now, we will have a missionary in Nicaragua. I am going to, after I get back from Texas, I'll leave and go to Nicaragua, and we're going to start supporting a pastor down there. He's been very faithful for the last year and a half in helping us, and so we're going to be starting to support another individual in another country. So we will have a pastor in Nicaragua. We have a pastor named Timothy in Burma or Myanmar. Timothy is not his real name, but I do not even try to pronounce his name. It's his Christian name, Timothy. When I met Timothy, he was very quiet. And he was one of those guys that you taught all day and then he begged you to teach him all night long so he could learn. Because he knew that we were only there for 2 weeks. And how can you expect him to learn everything in just 8 hours during the day? There's another 16 hours out there, Bob. So it's like, we didn't sleep much those 2 weeks, because this man would, and others would just beg us to continually teach them. Timothy is, I was telling your pastor, Timothy he is a true villager. He doesn't like the big city, and so he has decided that what he needs to do is build a Bible Institute and teach other pastors right on the Chinese border, on the Burma side, but to teach Chinese pastors. And so we have been given some land. We are starting a building next week, so that there will be, we can have a Bible Institute there. They will be teaching 40 pastors at a time that will go back into China and teach in Chinese. So Timothy is a real, real hard go-getter, hard charger. He's a go-getter. He loves to be out just teaching the Word of God. So here we are at a school. These young people are in a 3-year program where they will either become pastors, evangelists, or church leaders, building churches in the various communities. So they love to just listen to the Word. Here we were teaching pastors and pastors' wives, about 70 of them. They were very eager to learn all day. In this place, I'll go on. Foundations. Foundations is a book. Looks like this. It's a very simple book. Drew Freeman wrote it. He's the pastor of the church I came from. It's very simply written about what the Bible is. Did you know that the Bible is broken into two parts, an Old Testament and a New Testament? 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 1,189 verses in the Bible. I'm sorry, chapters in the Bible. Simple things like that. But if you are in a environment where you have nothing, one pair of slacks, one shirt, and that's it, you're probably not going to have a lot of reading material. And I know that's true because in India, we took a Bible concordance over to Solo. I asked him if he had one, and he said no, and he started crying. 33-year-old man, he's crying when I told him I'd give him a book. When he was in Bible school learning to be a pastor, they had one concordance for 60 pastors. They had to either make copies of it at the library or go in and check it out at certain times of the day. He said he had been praying for 7 years to get his own. That's the reason he was crying. So, same thing goes in Burma. They have nothing. They're very lucky if the only book in the village is this book, and they'll have one. The pastor will have one. That's it. One book. Now think about, how many Bibles do you have in your house today? Maybe like me, where you've got a couple, 3 or 4, 5 or 6. They are lucky to have one in each village. So what we've done is we've designed a book that is very simply written. It's written on a 4th or 5th grade level. They use me as a test. They said if Bob can understand it, anybody can understand it. So I read it and I said, what's these big words, you know? But they wrote it. We've now translated it. into several languages. Where your pastor's going, they speak Tagalog. They are translating it right now in Tagalog. And it's in several other languages, Mali, Alam in southern India, Kannada in central India, Burmese in Burma, Spanish, Nigerian, and Ghana. And it's being translated into Hindi and Russian, Chin, Lisu, Chinese, Mongolian. So those are the books that we've started translating into. But this is a very handy little book that the first chapter just tells you what the Bible is. Second chapter tells you every book in the Old Testament by book. The first book is, the second book is. Third chapter is about the New Testament. Fourth chapter is how to study the Bible. Yeah. So it's very handy for pastors to have, especially if they have no other training. So this is what it looks like. In addition to this, here we are in Burma. We were teaching, and we started at 8 o'clock that morning, and about 10, there was a commotion, and everybody stopped. And Pastor Gordon got up and says, "Stop, stop, 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 stop." Pastor Gordon is the short one in that picture. And they came dragging in the very first printing, foreign printing, of the Foundation book. They had printed, without us knowing, in anticipation of us being there, 500 copies of this book so that they could hand out. Pastor, the tall one, had 50 of these stolen from his house this weekend. 50 stolen from his house. You know who stole them? Other pastors. We've run out of them. We printed 3,000. We've run out of them. And he had 50 left, and he was saving them for the next class that we had. And some pastors found out about it. They went in, and they took the 50 Foundations books. I told them, print 3,000 more. So we are in the process of printing 3,000 more in Burmese right now because of that. The book Foundations in Mali Alam, which is the language in southern India where Solo Philip is, we have printed 6,000 of them, and Solo has personally given out, one at a time, 6,000 of these to pastors and leaders of the churches. He has handed out more in his country, in Malayalam, than we have in English here. Again, I talked to him this week, and I told him, please, get with the printer, have him print some more for you. At least 3,000. Because they don't replace this book, because this is the inspired Word of God right here. This is what we need to be studying. But if you don't know how to study this, if this is just a lot of words, this book will tell you simply how to do it. Here's the languages that we have it in. Spanish, Burmese, Kannada, and Malayalam. Back in the prayer room, and I was privileged tonight to be invited to the evening prayer with your pastor. But back in the prayer room, I have a display that has some pictures of various activities that have gone on via my activities. And then there's some copies of the books of pictures of the books that we've had translated into the foreign languages. There's also a sign-up sheet that if you would like to receive our newsletter, just sign your name and we'll send you a newsletter. If you would like to go on a short-term mission trip, when you sign up, it doesn't mean you go. This means that we're going to call you and tell you, hey, here's what's available, and would you like to go, and when would you like to go? Because we know that people are busy, and you can't always get away, but if you would like to go, and don't tell me that you don't know enough, because I'm proof that you don't have to know a lot. I just always pray that God's going to give me enough knowledge to that they'll hear what He wants them to hear, that I've got enough knowledge to keep my mouth shut, and they can hear it. And so far, it's worked pretty good that way. I mean, God's honored it, and VMI has been blessed as a result of the teachings we've done. This is just a list of the various translations of the Foundations book that we've done. We're in negotiations with Russians right now and with the Chinese right now to get them printed. So I think that will be happening very, very soon. I really wanted you to see that last one. Can I do that? And? There, okay. Like I said, what I would like for you to do is pray for our missionaries. I was in a church once, and when I got done talking, the pastor asked me to come back and talk to him, and he says, Bob, he says, we just don't have any money. And I says, okay. I says, but can you pray? And he says, yes. So we sat there and we prayed. And I says, that's okay. God's got enough money. He's going to send us the money that we need to print the books, to build the buildings, to send over missionaries, short-term missionaries. But what He wants is for us, you and me, to pray every day. So if you would pray for VMI, if you'd pray for Matthias, Volodia, James, Abe, Solo. Latin America is going to have a new name, and that's going to be Cairo. Timothy. And also that Foundations continues to be working. In the United States, we've got Foundations is in prisons. They're using it as a tool in the prisons. They're using it in Sunday schools. I just talked to Arlington Bible College, Bible Institute in Arlington, Texas. And they are using it as a study guide in their curriculum. Also, Dallas Theological Seminary is using it as a reading material only. So it is getting out. I have copies if you want some copies of it tonight. I definitely have copies. Your pastor is going to be taking it with him and going to be teaching out of the Foundations, and also his manuscript about going through the Bible in 1 year to the Filipinos when he's over there. Which that is not on here, but please pray for your pastor that he'll have a safe journey, a productive journey, and he will serve God while he's over there in the Philippines. I don't have any doubt about that. I'm not even concerned about that. Just pray that that will happen and that that God will honor that trip. Anybody have any questions about what I've talked about? Yes, ma'am. We can buy Bibles translated into their language. They are available in most of the countries, and at a much lesser cost than we could buy here. Do you guys have Mardell's down here? At a Christian bookstore, we have a bookstore in Oklahoma that we can buy Bibles for $8.50. But you can go to India and buy a Bible for $1.50. You can go to Belarus and buy a Bible for, what are they over there, Rex? Okay, I'm going to say $3. So most of them are going to be a lot less in the foreign countries. But they do have Bibles available. It's just that And the other thing, the reason I say that there's only one, usually only one Bible in the village, not a lot of people read. We're called village ministries because we go to the villages. We don't go to the New York cities. We don't go to the Hong Kongs, the Calcuttas. The places we go are all in the villages of 100 people or less, you know, 500 people at the most. In Ghana, we went to a village that had 500 people. But most of them are small, very small towns. And they don't have a lot. I mean, so, yes, we'll buy a Bible. And I've got the disc of going through the Bible that your pastor has done. And so we're going to give that to each of our pastors overseas because we have purchased computers for each of our pastors overseas. So they are all computer literate to a degree. They know how to send emails to me. Let me put it that way. So at least we can communicate with them. So using computers. And so they all have computers that we've purchased and have carried over to them. And I'm going to send a copy of this so that will give them another tool so that they can teach their people about the Bible. Randy. It is on our website. It's on villageministries.org. So yes, you can get it right off of the website. Yeah. Bet it would. Yeah. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
So back to the English thing. So do all of the men there speak English? I'm just wondering how, because I know you.
Yes, ma'am. That was in Sri Lanka, and that was A. Masalamani. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, and when you give them a computer, are you communicating with them in English?
Yes. Each of these individuals speaks English. What happened, Jody Brown, for those of you who do know Jody Brown had a wonderful skill that I wish I had, but he had the ability to get a name, Bob Thompson, living in some village, and he would go out walking over hills and whatever, 3 days, 4 days, whatever it took, and go to that village and find Bob Thompson and tell him about Jesus Christ. Would lead him to the Lord, then would teach that person so that they could teach other people. So when he went to Abudu in Matthias's case, he knew that Matthias had the ability to speak in English and that he was a believer. We already knew that when we went to see Matthias. Who went to Belarus? He went to Belarus. He met a young man at the university by the name of Volodya Feldman, and he talked to him about Jesus Christ, and Volodya became a believer. But he knows how to speak English. All these people do speak English, and yes, they communicate with me via English. I speak Okie. I don't even speak good English. So you know, they have to understand English, ma'am. But the other pastors that are under them oftentimes do not speak English at all. Know nothing in English. They would have no reason to. We're a very mobile society here in America, and we've traveled. You guys have traveled all the way to Round Rock. I'm not so, just kidding. But we travel around. Well, they do not. I mean, they have leather. That's it. No, they don't even have leather. Most of them wear thongs that you would have thrown away about 10 years ago, but they continue to wear them and continue to wear them and continue to wear them until they're like paper thin. But that's what they have on their feet is thongs, a pair of slacks and a shirt. And that's it. That's what they have. They're not a mobile society, therefore they would have no reason to know how to speak English. Some of them, because we've been to see Matthias since 1993, so there are some people there who have learned a little bit of English. I mean, they know how to say amen, you know, God bless you, things like that. But many of them speak nil of English. Sir? Fifteen percent for administrative costs, and that does things like our newsletter, printing these books, things like that. I've spent $47,000 printing these in America. I spent probably another $30,000 printing them in other parts of the world. So it just costs money, but. I think it's worth it. I think the board thinks it's worth it. So we utilize that book, and it's just a tool. It's just like the little coin. If that coin will entice you to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ, it's worth it. Yeah. And the printer of this book, she's 52 years old, and she's been in the printing business for 30-some years, and she called me up one day, and she says, "Bob, you really didn't mean to put this in here, did you? Because in the front it says, no one may charge any individual or groups of individuals for the use of these materials. It being understood that VMI has a policy of grace and does not charge for the use of this material." She says, "I've been in business for 30 years. She says, "You don't want that in there. How are you going to pay for this book?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, Vicki. I've never worried about that." I said, "Some people take a book and they don't pay for it. Another person will take a book and give me $100. And so I don't worry about it." I said, "God's going to provide that. I don't have to worry about it." She says, "I've never seen that done." She's now sending me $50 every month. She says, this may help you, Bob. It's not a lot, but it may help you." Like I said, I've given her $40,000, so I guess she can afford it. But yeah, it's little stories like that just makes you feel very good at the end of the day when you go home or before you go home. Did you have a question, ma'am? No. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That individual is getting $400, and he supports himself and five pastors, and he's very frugal, and he sent his oldest son to America to study. His oldest son is a doctor, and his oldest son has paid for each of the other kids to come to America and get their education. I know. So the answer is yes. None of those individuals are supported by another missionary group. Now there may be individuals who, that know them that are just say, "Well, I'm gonna send you $50 here, or $50 there." But as regular support, no. But they don't. Like I said, they don't use a lot of money. They're. To me, it's amazing. I mean, when I first came on as a full-time staff, I was amazed that we were paying them so little. But then as I got to meet these guys, they don't want. We've offered to give them more money, and they say, "No, we don't want that. Let somebody else use that money because we're okay." So very humble individuals, very very honorable men. Yes, ma'am. We try to find translators who are believers. I mean, it's much better to have a believer translate this, and when it talks about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, if you're not a believer, you have no clue what we're talking about. So, yes, we try to find believers to do the translations. And yes, we do pay for that. Not a lot, but we pay for it. And because most of the countries, it's, if your average income is $25, then to do translation of this, if you pay them more than that, then they're rich, they're wealthy, they're very wealthy. But $25 will go a long, long way. I know, we throw that away. We drink that in coffee every month. Yeah. But $25 to them is a lot of money. So, you know, we try to print it, we try to get it translated and use believers to do it. And not only that, but after we get it translated, we then find another believer to proofread it so that we can feel fairly confident that it is, that it is a true rendition of what we wanted. And it, and we've had some charismatic people who wanted to do the translation, and they believed in speaking in tongues and doing things, and it's like, no, 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 we're not going to teach tongues in this. And and they would, and we make the agreement that they're going to follow our guidelines, our doctrinal statement, and translate. So yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that goes into it, ma'am. Sir. Yes. There are other missionaries, other mission groups that are using it. I would say 10 to 11 other missionary groups that have found out about it, realized that, wow, we need something basic. Gene Cunningham's basic book on going through the Bible and using it. So, think about it. Here we've got Gene's book on basics. We've got this on foundations. We've got your pastors on going through the Bible. These pastors are now have tools by which they can study, which they can prepare to teach their flock how to become believers and how to live the Christian life. But yeah, there are several organizations using it. Any other questions? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight that we've had, that we can just talk about VMI, and that we can know that you're always here, always taking care of us, and no matter what our needs are, you're always there, and you always amaze us with how you get things done. You don't look at it like we do, but you just get things done, and we just praise you for that. Thank you for this church that you've had here in Austin, that they continue to study the Word, they continue to learn, be with their pastor and his family as they feed the flock, and keep him studying like he does, and let him continue to be a real servant for you. Again, thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.